The inspired penman of the 119th Psalm wrote, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart.
They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways.
Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently.
Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes.
Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." My name is Terrence Brownlow Dindy, and welcome to His Righteous Judgments. Again, the program is His Righteous Judgments. My name is Terrence Brownlow Dindy. I am the preacher of the 6th Street Church of Christ in Lakeland, Florida. If you're ever in our area, we want to let you know always that you will be our honored guest. We certainly would love to have you come out and to worship with us. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we have record of the beginnings of the Church of Christ. Luke tells us in verse number 42 that once the church was formed, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. It's the doctrine that I want to focus on. By virtue of the fact that Luke emphasizes that the church continued in the apostles' doctrine, certainly lets us know that God is concerned with what the church teaches. We're not far into the existence of the church before men began to subscribe to the false idea that we can teach whatever it is that we want to teach. And of course, this is a false idea that continues unto today, unfortunately. But the Bible has always been very clear on the fact that we ought to be teaching simply what God has authorized us to teach. Our lesson today comes from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, dealing with the idea of the three P's of the false teacher. We hope this lesson will be beneficial for you. Thank you again for joining us. Everybody's familiar with what this is. It's a bottle of water, and you know that something that all of us need. How many of us in here like water? By a show of hands, we all like water.
Brother Rod, it's a brand new bottle of water. You can tell it's a brand new bottle of water by opening it and you can hear it click. So what I want you to do is you can just take a drink of that water.
Pastor told me.
Don't start. All right, absolutely. All right, so good water. Yeah. And so one of the things a lot of times the water companies like to advertise is that the water is pure. Matter of fact, this is made by Nestle and it's called Pure Life. And so it's pure. They have here a bottle of roach and ant poison. Put a little bit of that roach and ant poison in there. Up real good. Brother Ron, take a swig of that.
God has given us all things at the center pack of God has given me.
Not gonna take a drink?
No.
Got any other takers? Anybody wanna take a drink of this?
No.
Anybody?
It's poison.
It's poison. It's poison. I just bought it. It's poison. No other takers. Nobody wants to take a drink.
Yeah. Good looking out. I just about set it up here too.
I was just about to say she's always joking around about is my life insurance paid up. And so sometimes she jokes about that so much that I begin to wonder, man. You know, but I see her true colors come out. She wanted me to set that poisonous water over there so I wouldn't drink it. So she does really love me. You know, so the illustration, of course, that we are making tonight. And the illustration is this. You see that water, that bottle of water sitting there. It's a pure bottle of water. Brother Rock took a drink of it before anything was added to it. I added, relatively speaking, a very small amount of poison. And just with a very small amount of poison, comparatively speaking, added to that water, he wasn't willing to drink it. Rightfully so. Nobody else in here was willing to drink it. Makes sense, doesn't it? And when we think about the doctrine of Christ Jesus, God is very concerned that we make sure that the doctrine of Christ Jesus remains pure. The Bible teaches us in so many different places that whenever the doctrine of Christ is violated, then it becomes problematic. 2 John verse number 9, for instance. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If any man come unto you and bring not this doctrine, the Bible says you don't receive this guy. You don't allow him into your house. You don't even bid him Godspeed unless you become a partaker of his evil deeds. Amen. The book of Romans chapter 16, verse number 17, Paul urges the Roman Christians to make sure that they mark them which cause divisions contrary to sound doctrine and avoid them. So many places like the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 3 where Paul tells Timothy that the reason that I left you in Ephesus is that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. God is concerned about his doctrine. In the book of Titus chapter 2 verse number 1, he told Titus to speak those things which become sound doctrine. And that word sound in that context, as well as in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, means healthy doctrine. None of us would agree, would disagree, that bottle of water right there is now no longer healthy because something unhealthy has been added to it. And of course, the point that we're making on this evening is if anything is added to the doctrine of Christ, it is no longer to be considered sound doctrine. And friends, we are to avoid it. You know, too many times in the brotherhood, we simply do not take seriously, at least there are some who do not take seriously, the dangers that are associated with unhealthy doctrine. Doctrine to which some impurity has been added. Obviously, they didn't understand that in the Galatian congregations. Because Paul, as he's writing to the Galatian congregation, in verse number 6 says, I marvel that you were so soon removed from him and called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. He goes on to say not only once but twice. If anybody comes unto you and bring any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Doesn't matter if it's us or an angel from heaven. We bring any other doctrine to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. That's how important and how serious this matter is to the great God of heaven. We need to make sure that the matter is just as serious to you and I who are members of the Lord's church. Had a conversation on last week with the preacher at the North MacArthur congregation in Oklahoma City. And of course, Oklahoma, as you know, is a place that's near and dear to my heart because that's my home. And my mother's a member of that congregation at North MacArthur. And on last week, she began to talk about the lectureship that they have coming up on next week. It's called the Affirming the Faith Lectureship or Affirming the Faith Seminar. Brother Rico, you may have heard of that. And in this seminar, they've got a number of speakers who are coming. And my mom asked me if I was familiar with any of the speakers that were coming to the Affirming the Faith Seminar. And I said, well, I'm not sure who's coming. Could you read me a list? And so she went and got one of the brochures, began to read me a list of who all was coming. And she began to read down the list of names. Several of them I knew, about half of them I knew. You know, Dan Winkler's coming, very solid, sound proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Melvin Otey is going, very solid, sound proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Roy Montgomery, as far as I know, is a sound teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A couple of other names on there of guys that I was familiar with, but then there was a name that she read that I just had to scratch my head and ask myself, why in the midst of all these sound proclaimers of the gospel is a name like Arnelius Crenshaw also on the program? I know for a fact that this man is not a teacher of the truth. He is a false teacher. And so my mother and I began to talk about that. She said she's going to present this thing to the elders to see, you know, what they had to say about it. And she did on that Wednesday night. She and I talked on Tuesday. She presented this to them on Wednesday night. And she said that, you know, the elders kind of, at least one of them she talked to, kind of made it out to be sort of a joke. She told him, and my mother, you know, she listens to what I have to say. She knows I know a lot of men in the brotherhood, and she trusts my judgment. She knows I would not mark anyone as a false teacher if I didn't have evidence that they were indeed a false teacher. She knows that. And so she exclaimed to the elders that if it's the case that Arnelius Crenshaw's name is not taken, if you're going to bring men like this in here to teach, then I'm going to have to place membership elsewhere. I appreciate the stance that she took. Said, well, the elder kind of laughed and said, you know, are you really going to place your membership elsewhere if Arnelius Crenshaw remains on the program? She says, I'm dead serious. If you know my mother, she doesn't joke a whole lot. She was dead serious. And so the guy thought it was kind of funny, kind of amusing, thought it was kind of outlandish that someone would say that, hey, I will go somewhere else and try to worship God perfectly rather than stay here and allow you to bring in someone who is teaching poisonous doctrine. Would to God that every Christian would take that exact stance where these things were concerned, because the matter is that serious. And so we continue to talk about this thing, and again, it's just the fact that the matter is not enough brethren take it seriously.
Amen.
There's not a one of those people who would drink out of that bottle of water, even though it's still 99% water, maybe about a half a percent, if that much, of arsenic or poison. Nobody's going to drink that. But yet still, we can put together a program where we've got about 12 solid preachers, one blatant false teacher, and everybody thinks that's okay. Just does not make sense to me. You know, when we look at the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, Peter takes this matter extremely seriously. You know, this is not something that is just a no big deal type of situation in the mind of the Apostle Peter. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the fact that Peter said that there are four detrimental associations of the false teacher. And we looked at that, and all taken from verse number 1 of chapter 2, where Peter is talking about the fact there are false teachers that are going to be present that we have to look out for. Of course, as we mentioned, you go back to chapter 1, and he's talking about the faith of Christ and the fact that this faith is built upon a sure word of prophecy. Verse number 20, knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Get into verse number 1. This is a continuation of the thought. This is not a new unit of thought. It's a continuation where he says, but there are also false prophets among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And so we talked about verse number 1 and the four detrimental associations of the false teachers, the false prophets. Number 1 being deception. They privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Number 2, the second detrimental association was damnable heresies. And the third detrimental association was denial. They even denied the Lord that brought them. And the fourth detrimental association was destruction. They bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now on this evening, we want to take this a little bit further. We want to get a little bit deeper into the text. We want to look at the three P's of a false teacher. Number 1, we want to look at the false teacher's product. Number 2, the false teacher's program. And number 3, the false teacher's perdition. And so we're going to begin here again in verse number 1, except we're going to go this evening all the way down to verse number 6, and we're going to allow the sermon to be ours and the points taken on this evening. But when it comes to the false teacher, again, this is not something that is to be taken lightly. This is not something that is to be brushed aside, swept under the carpet, or that we have to turn a blind eye to. Peter says, be aware of the fact that just as there were false prophets back in the days of old, there are false teachers among us today. Friends, just as sure as Balaam was walking around during the days of the wilderness wandering, we need to understand there are false teachers walking around among us today. Friends, this is sure as there were 450 prophets of Baal during the days of Ahab and Elijah. Friends, there are many false teachers that are walking around among us today. Just as sure as Jeremiah says that there are two atrocities that have been committed in the land. The prophets prophesied falsely. The priests ruled by their own means, and the people love to have it so. Just as sure as that was the case in Jeremiah's day, friends, it is the case there are false teachers that are walking around among the brotherhood today. And friends, Peter said, you better take note of this. You better make sure that you understand this. Do not be naive and gullible and simply walk around thinking that everyone who wears a suit and graces a pulpit is teaching the truth. It's simply not the case. Certainly do not be so naive as to think that everyone who calls himself a minister in the church of Christ is teaching the right thing. Because they certainly are not. See, Peter's talking about the church here, isn't he? Look what he says here. Just as there were false prophets among the people in those days, there should be false teachers where?
Among you.
And so he's speaking to the church here. You go back to chapter 1, verse number 1. He's speaking to those who have attained a like precious faith with us. I'm talking about those of the same faith of the apostles. I'm talking to the Lord's church, the church of Christ here. And he says there are going to be false prophets, or false teachers rather, among you. We need to be aware of the false teacher's product. And what is this product? We saw it in verse number 1. The Bible says that he is in the business of peddling damnable heresy. A doctrine that is counterproductive, that is counter to the truth of God. And so we understand the Bible says that these heresies, these false doctrines, that they are damnable. And so we need to understand that we cannot adhere to false doctrine and be saved. The Bible says these heresies are damnable. This is what he's about. This is what he does. He peddles false doctrine. You know, you look at so many places in the scripture, and again, that's what you see. You know, Paul calls a few men by name. He calls by name people like Hymenaeus and Philetus. When you go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, of course we are familiar with verse number 15. The majority of us, where the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why is Paul placing emphasis upon his son in the faith, making sure that he himself is diligent, puts forth the effort to make sure that he's approved of God and that he's a workman that does not need to be ashamed, able to handle aright the word of God? He says, you need to understand that there are men who don't do that. You need to make sure that in the church we have some people who are going to teach the truth, because there are some people who are peddling, even in the church, false doctrine. He mentions a couple of them. He says in verse number 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as does a canker, of whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Well, what false doctrine are these guys peddling? The Bible says they have strayed concerning the truth, teaching that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. Why was Hymenaeus and Philetus teaching that the resurrection is past already? I simply don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Doesn't give us any clue, man. You look at some of the false teachers that exist amongst today, and I'm always scratching my head, Brother Robert. Always ask, man, why in the world are they teaching some of the things that they teach? It's not as though these matters are difficult in the scriptures. You know, some of the false teaching that we are facing within the church today have to do with how we worship God. And again, you know, it boggles the mind why they are peddling this type of stuff when the Bible is so very clear about that. We know the Bible is clear. Some of these same people who are peddling the same false doctrine in the church today, who are handling that product, are some of the same men who argued against the very doctrines that they're now peddling. I guarantee you, it is the case that 20 years ago, it simply would not be some of these men teaching that when it comes to worship, all worship is any emotional expression of our veneration to God. In other words, whatever we want to do, whatever our emotions dictate in worship, that's what we ought to be doing. You know, always think about this type of teaching and always try to get people to press this thing to its logical end. You know, you got people out there, and we've called some of these names before, who are teaching this doctrine. You know, they're saying things like, you know, you can't prohibit my worship, and we ought to be able to express ourselves to God any way that we want to in worship. You push this thing to its logical end, and where does it take us? It takes us wherever we want to be. You know, if I want to do backflips across this stage as an expression, emotional expression of my veneration to God, then who can stop me from doing that? If I want to come up and you know, just smack somebody, every time I feel, you know, inclined to do so, man, I'm just going to come slap somebody. Who's to stop me from doing that if we were to press this thing to its logical end? Hey, that's my expression of worship. That's what I'm inclined or compelled to do at this time. It really doesn't make sense. And when you press this stuff, it becomes even more nonsensical. But friends, again, we have brethren who are promoting these things. We're not making this type of stuff up. You know, there are those who at one point in time would argue fiercely for the exclusive nature of the Lord's fellowship. The Bible teaches us that fellowship is dictated by God. And the way that fellowship works is this. In 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says that we, once we obey the gospel, that we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says that if we will walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means between us and God, and then also between us and every other faithful Christian. And the blood of the Son continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's parameters of fellowship. The Bible teaches us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 11. As we already saw, Paul told Timothy to shun profane and vain babblings. In other words, if you have these false teachers that are peddling this false doctrine, shun them. Avoid these people.
Right.
Don't keep company with them. Avoid a heretic after the first and second admonition.
Right.
But yet and still, we have brethren who would have argued for that years ago, but today are now saying that, hey, our fellowship is open to anyone who will simply believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I listened to a panel discussion. You know, Rico, did you get a chance to listen to that? Listen to that thing just the other day where you got a brother from the Northeast congregation in Oklahoma City where Arnelius Crenshaw is preacher. This was the assistant preacher there. And by the way, Arnelius Crenshaw calls himself the pastor of that church. I listened to him preach a sermon the other day over at Billy Washington's place, and he's calling himself the pastor of the Northeast Church of Christ. Just as plain as day, he would have argued against that 30 years ago. But now today, he's claiming that he's a pastor of that church. But his assistant preacher is on this panel discussion teaching that we can fellowship anyone who is willing to accept Jesus Christ as Lord or to call Jesus Christ Lord. Simply makes no sense. We look at a false teacher. What is their product? Their product is false doctrine. Damnable heresies. And friends, we need to stay away from it just like we stay away from that bottle of water that has a portion of arsenic in it. Need to stay away from it. If we avoid that, why in the world will we not avoid the false teacher when the detriments of the false teacher are even graver than this? You know, I drink that, I might get real sick. You know, I drink the whole bottle, I'll probably die. But if I drink that much of it, I'm going to get pretty sick. Friends, if I swallow what the false teacher is peddling, my soul is in danger. We've already looked at some of the ways that Paul describes those who have subscribed to false doctrine. He describes them as having been bewitched in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1, as having been troubled in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 7, as having been spoiled, and we'll talk more about what that means in just a moment, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. Speaking of that, let's get into the next point. In this text, we see not only the false teachers' product, but we see the false teachers' program. If you look at verse number 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, verse number 2, the Bible says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And this is unfortunate. This is the case. We know that it's true in the world today. Many, even in the church, are following their pernicious ways. That word pernicious might mean lascivious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that is certainly the case. Look at verse number 3. Now we're going to talk about his program. What is the false teacher trying to do? Friends, let there be no mistake about it. See, these guys are going to try to put up a defense as to why it is that they're doing what they're doing. Why it is they're teaching what they're teaching. Doesn't matter what comes out of their mouth. God says this is what they're about. This is the program. And this is where we have to quit being fooled by what man has to say and go with what God has to say about the matter. Look at verse number 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you.
Yes, sir.
Now, what does that mean? Well, we know what covetousness means. We're talking about people who are greedy for money. They're going to tell you whatever they think you want to hear to keep you coming and keep you, even more importantly, giving. You know, Joel Osteen, we're familiar with old Joel Osteen, very notable false teacher over in Houston, Texas, you know, nice tall guy, you know, good looking, got the slick black hair, the pretty smile. You know, it's just, he's charming. You know, gets up there and he never has a crossword to say about anything. I wonder what world Joel Osteen lives in, man. Every time he walks by, man, it's almost like butterflies and flowers are floating around his head, man. Everything's always so very good with this guy, you know. And whenever Katie Couric drilled him about how come he didn't teach on some of the hot button topics like abortion and hot button topics like homosexuality, his response was, well, God has not called me to condemn, but to exhort. Man, what a weak, spineless, yellow-bellied excuse for peddling false doctrine. But guess what? That's his program. That's what he's trying to do. Because here's the thing. Joel Osteen is on record many times as having boasted about having the biggest congregation in America. You know, he preaches over there at the old Summit in Houston. If you're not familiar with that, Brother Smith, that's where the Rockets used to play basketball. So I give you an idea how big the place is. And Joel Osteen packs it out all of the time. And so he boasts about having the biggest congregation in America. Why does he have the biggest congregation in America? Because he's teaching what people want to hear. That's what his program is. That's what he's doing. The Bible says that these guys are covetous and through feigned words. That word feigned means ungenuine. Words that have no truth associated with them. Through feigned words, the Bible says they make merchandise of you. You understand what that means, right? Go over to Colossians chapter 2 right quickly. We'll look at verse number 8, and Paul talks about the same thing over in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. They had a false doctrine problem in the congregation of Colossae, and Paul deals with it. The false doctrine that they began to peddle in that particular congregation came to be called Gnosticism in the second century. If you have the opportunity, look it up and kind of look at some of the details of Gnosticism. We don't have time to get into all of it tonight, but to get over to Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8, look what the Bible says here. You know, these false teachers, they're all the same. It doesn't matter whether they're in Ephesus, doesn't matter whether they're in Colossae, doesn't matter whether they're in any of the countries that Peter is writing to here. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, through the traditions of men, through the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Beware lest anyone spoil you. See, I used to think that verse was saying that you need to beware of these false teachers unless they spoil your soul. In other words, ruin your soul. Because that's generally the way that we use that word in our vernacular. Spoil, it means to ruin something. But whenever I took time to look it up in the Greek language, it's not what it's talking about at all. It's using the word spoil in the sense of taking you as a spoil. All right, you know, whenever people would go and they would fight a war and they would conquer a people, they would help themselves to the spoils. All right, whatever money, whatever goods, whatever valuables, whatever livestock, whatever people they chose to apprehend for themselves, that was called the spoil. And the Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you." In other words, these false teachers, that's what their program is. They are trying to take advantage of you monetarily. That's what the Bible says. You talk to people like Rupert Shelley, you talk to people like Max Cato, and they'll deny vehemently that what I'm about is trying to take people for what I can materially. But God says that's exactly what they're doing. And I'm going to go with God. I'm going to believe what God has to say about that matter. You know, it's not a mere coincidence that Max Cato was filthy rich. It's not a mere coincidence that Rupert Shelley is doing pretty good. It's not a mere coincidence that people like Arnelius Crenshaw and Warren Blakeney in Tulsa, that they got a lot more money than you and I have got. It's no mere coincidence. That's what they're about. Look in the book of 1 Timothy again. And look in chapter 6. Beginning in verse number 3, and we'll read down to verse number 6. The Bible says, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to doctrine which is according to godliness." The word says that he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that, listen to this, gain is godliness. The New King James Version puts it this way, that godliness is a means of gain. Both versions adequately express what Paul is dealing with. He tells Timothy, "From such withdraw thyself." There are some false teachers out there who are treating godliness as a means of gain. Church to them is a way to get rich. It is a racket to some of these guys. Call it like God calls it here. They make religion out to be a money-making racket. So you used to think that it was just Jimmy Graham that was doing that. You used to think it was just Oral Roberts and Jimmy Swaggart that were doing these types of things, but now you see it in the church. Peter says in verse number 2, "There many shall follow their pernicious ways." It's unfortunate, but it's the case that many are going to follow these guys, even though they're peddling false doctrine, even though their program is to make merchandise of people. Friends, we ought to steer clear of them, just like the Bible tells us time and time and time again. And so we see the false teacher's product, damnable heresies. We see the false teacher's program. He is, through covetousness, with feigned words, making merchandise of those that he's preaching this false doctrine to. And then finally, we see in this same verse the false teacher's perdition. That word perdition means his end, his destruction. Verse number 3 again. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment out of a long time lingereth not, and whose damnation slumbereth not. The Bible says the judgment of these guys, that it's imminent. It's at hand. See, right now, these false teachers, they think they're getting away with what they're doing right now. They think we're getting away with this. They think that we're just slick enough, they're going to be able to live our whole lives peddling false doctrine, making merchandise of people, getting filthy rich through causing people's souls to be damned, that God's never going to catch up to them. But the Bible says that their judgment now of a long time lingereth not. In other words, these guys are not going to escape forever. Their judgment is coming. Their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, their damnation is not sleeping. It says it's fully awake. And I love the rest of this passage. When you look there at verses 4 through 6, you know, Peter says that their perdition is evident through three things that God had done in the past. How do we know the false teacher has his day coming? How do we know that eventually, for those who pervert the word of God, they're eventually going to get theirs? Because Peter says, this is what God did. He says, number 1, verse number 4, he spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them unto chains of darkness, reserved unto judgment.
He is Lord.